Well, I have come by this morning to talk about pain. Anyone in pain today, or is this going to be just speaking to me? Raise your hand if you're in pain today in some way or another. There's woundedness. Okay, good. I do feel like I have a word for you this morning. It's the P's. Will you persist in your pain? Will you praise Him during your pain? And if you will, you will receive passion from your pain. Persist through your pain. Receive and praise Him during your pain, and you will receive passion from your pain. You see, I am firmly convinced it is a mindset, and it's easy to obtain it, but it's hard to keep it, isn't it? The mindset of persistency. I truly believe that God wants servants who are compassionate and passionate. And these enduring traits come, I believe, or endearing traits come through these enduring times. Pain. I remember when I was not long ago, I was in 1995, so I guess it's been a while now, but I had been playing racquetball. National racquetball tournament. I had played the state and the southern, and then I went to the national racquetball tournament. I was playing against the best, and I had been working every morning from 6 to 8 o'clock in the morning trying to hone my skills in for this great tournament. I got to the finals, but I also was, my back was killing me when I got through. And as I was flying home, I realized that there was something a little bit more than just a significant pain. As the days went on, the pain grew worse. I went to the doctor. He did some x-rays. And I went on to conduct the tennis clinics that I do every year. 200 kids pack the tennis courts, and I teach them tennis and use tennis as a tool for Christ. It was about the third day, and I couldn't get out of bed. It was hurting so bad. I went to the courts, and by the time I hit the courts, I was just in tears. I don't know how the doctor tracked me down, but he did. He called the courts and he said that, Kay, you need to get off the courts immediately. For what had happened was I had blown the disc and a bone chip was in my spinal canal and the pain was just going down my legs. And he said, you need surgery immediately. The problem was, how can you go get surgery? When you need surgery, you can't find a doctor. But fortunately, I went to Louisiana. I knew a good doctor there and he performed the surgery. Between that Wednesday and Sunday, my motor abilities just were losing it. When I had surgery, fortunately, he deemed it successful, but when I got through, I had what was called a club foot. I couldn't even pick up my foot. I couldn't walk. Now, can you imagine 10 days before that, I was playing unbelievable national racquetball, and now I couldn't even walk. And they weren't sure that I would be able to walk again. Normally, for 5 days a week, for 2 years, I did rehab. As you can see, I'm fine now. But the pain was significant. And the reason why I share this story is because what I learned from that time, you see, during that time, that very day, on that Wednesday, that I was crying out, God, help my pain, take it away. There was a significant person, Superman, Christopher Reeves. And you might recall what happened to him. He was riding a horse in equestrian meet, fell off of it, broke his neck, paralyzed. You see, when I was crying out, pain, 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 Lord, he was saying, pain, I'd love to have pain. His receptors were gone to the brain. Couldn't feel what he would do to have pain. That changed my perspective forever on pain. And now I thank God for pain. That's the mindset that I want to encourage you today, this morning in. My text is 1 Peter 4:12, if you have your Bibles. It says, don't be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice. Do we ever put rejoice next to suffering? He says, but rejoice that you participate, not on the sidelines, that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I don't know why we get surprised when we have painful trials. The heroes of the faith are heroes just because of that. They persevered during times that were difficult. In fact, more difficult than the normal person. They're heroes because they were able to see in the spiritual realm and not be dismayed. It's all about perspective, obtaining it and maintaining it. I think about like sports. It's one thing to win a title. It's a whole other thing to repeat. The mindset of a Christian athlete. I could go on and on with that one, but I won't. Where's your pain today? I know that in a crowd like this, there's loneliness down at the root of who you are. Or there's self-mutilation on this campus. There's substance abuse. There's suicidal attempts. There's pain. It's rampant on this campus. I see it in your eyes. I hear it in your requests. Pain. I know a little bit about pain because I have an incurable disease. And the pain that can be most difficult. In fact, to be honest with you, the pain never leaves me 24/7 now. But we've all heard bad reports. And my challenge to you is, what are you doing with the bad report? Life happens, doesn't it? It happens. It's difficult. But I think that we need to get off the mindset of, why me? Do not be surprised. And why not me? Why not me? When we said yes to Jesus Christ, we chose a path of most resistance, not least. Following the path of Jesus Christ is a path of suffering. Now, I'm not here to glorify pain this morning, believe me, but I'm here to glorify Jesus Christ in our pain because he wants to turn around your pain for his gain if you will yield to him. And that's the hard part, isn't it? Resting in him instead of resisting him. I know in painful times, sometimes I, even subconsciously, will kind of, you know, when the pain comes and it hits me in the gut, or and I back up and then another one comes, and before long I realize I'm kind of removing myself from the picture, from God. It's hard to remain in God through your pain. Say that with me. I will remain in my pain in God. I want to talk a little bit more about the vine and the athlete. Will you turn to John 15 with me? John 15. Those who know the Bible, I'll read it to you. John 15. You know, the definition of perseverance is to remain. To remain. And if we're to go successfully and aggressively toward the things of God, we must remain connected to God. Connected to God. I'll get there eventually myself. John 15. I am amazed at this. Now, you know that every time God repeats himself in the Bible, it's something to take note. Well, look how many times, as I read this to you, that he repeats himself. John 15, verse 4 through 10. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, and look at this, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I obeyed my Father's command, and remain in his love. Now here's the kicker. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. How many times did I say remain? Remain in Him. Sometimes conquering is just remaining in Him. Some of you, if you can just remain another 5 minutes, that's conquering. I say this often to myself, Kay, stay attached to Jesus and detached from the world. Attached to Jesus, say it with me. Attached to Jesus, say it with conviction. Attached to Jesus, detached from the world. Amen. Sometimes pain comes through pruning. Anybody being pruned today? Wave your hand. Pruned. Pruned. Oh, ouch. It's a natural process. It's a supernatural process. But it hurts. It hurts. God sometimes takes His big shears at us. And when He does that, we look, or at least I should talk about myself, I look like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. You know, those little branches that are out, and they're just sprigs, and you put one or two ornaments on it, and it weighs it down. But I'll take being ugly like a Christmas tree, Charlie Brown's, if it will make me like a mighty oak by the stream. Will you remain in God in your pain? And the athlete. I know a little bit about the athlete. And I think of all the analogies that God used or could have used for perseverance, He used the athlete. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians says this, run in such a way as to get the eternal prize. Now that means that how you and I run matters. We don't just enter a race, we run to, we enter the race to expect to run to win the high prize of the calling. The most effective way, I think, to get this prize, to capture it, to conquer, to live an abundant life, overcoming in Christ Jesus, is to first be captured by Jesus. We can't do it in our own strength, but if we will be captured by Jesus, we can capture that prize. He wouldn't say it if we couldn't. Philippians 3:14 says to run toward the goal to win the eternal prize. And Romans 2:7 says, He will give eternal life to those who persist in doing what is good. We won't get eternal life unless we persist. It's not an option. It's a mindset, and you have to choose to persist. From heaven until the cross, Christ persisted. Despite persecution, slander, misunderstandings, betrayals, He carried out the will of His Father. I remember one time in the Bible it says, I will keep going, no matter what. I will keep going. Today and tomorrow, He's talking about casting out demons and et cetera, et cetera. He says, I'm just going to keep going. Dogged persistence. Another element of pain that I want to encourage you on is that many times pain is the fuel of passion. Passionate about Christ. Let's look at Job. He's one of my personal heroes. With God, there's always a reason for pain. There's purpose for pain. I get great comfort in that, to know that every bit of things that come into my life, there's a purpose for it. Joe Stowell, the president of Moody Bible Institute. Said this about pain. On a single day, Job lost everything. Everything. Everything dear to his heart, his life, his physical well-being. He lost it all. And this, I believe, more than anything, is directed to someone today. For 37 chapters. God silent in your life? And you've interpreted it as he doesn't care. He's not with you, or he's disappointed in you. Where is God in this? 37 chapters, the silent treatment. Remember that is from your parents? The silent treatment. And this is what Joe Stoll said that I think is unbelievable perspective. Job was called upon to prove a point on God's behalf. He suffered to prove the worthiness of God. There could be no higher calling. Now, you know that 9 times friends advised Job to go against what he knew. What perspective are you going to choose to have? The world's or God's? It's not about us. You see, Satan was really after God. He hates God. And he hates God in you. And he doesn't want you to be victorious. He doesn't want you to conquer. He doesn't want you to be sustained or maintained. But you're going to. It's a mindset. It's a perspective. If you're tempted to throw in the towel, give up. Don't. I think of this. Where would you be right now if Jesus Christ gave up before he even went to the cross? I think we know. Another staple in perseverance is something that I don't have. I don't even know what to say the word. Patience, endurance. Patient endurance, one of the main staples of perseverance. 2 Corinthians 1:8, 2, 5, and 11 talk about patient endurance. 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 2, 5 through 11. Hebrews 12:1 in the Living Bible says, run with patience that particular race that is set before you. An Olympic runner doesn't just run the race wherever. Boom, and he just kind of goes. There is a race that's set before him. And for 10 years, most professional athletes don't receive any of their accolades. And they're in getting up early in the morning when no one is even around but the sprinkler system to run around. And then when the Olympics come, or whatever that might be, there it is before them. A horse has blinders on, so he can't see anything but what's straight ahead. Swimmer, the race that's set before each one of you. But if you get discouraged in your pain and you don't remain in him, you swerve, you flounder. A boxer doesn't just flail at the wind, he wants to hit flesh. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of patience, Kay. Patience in this pain. That's the hardest part, I think. Being patient. Resting in him, not resenting it. This week, I want to challenge you to, when under pressure, will you persist in grace? When you have been wronged, will you persist in forgiveness? 2 Corinthians 2:5-11 talks about that. When you're afraid, will you persist in courage? Courage. Joshua 1. When you need wisdom, will you persist in asking for it? And he will give it to you liberally. When you need joy, will you have the mindset and choose joy and rejoice at all times? Philippians 1:4. When you get discouraged, which I think is the most subtle ploy of the enemy, discouragement. Not a big bang gun that we see, but it's a big bang gun to Satan because he can always use it. Will you be a Barnabas, son of encouragement or daughter of encouragement to someone in your world? And if you need comfort, will you persist in receiving the comfort so that you can give out? You see, I believe more than what we hear, that the call upon your life will come from the pain. And that's how he turns it into gain. But not if you hold on to it and say, no way, Lord. Give it over to him and you will see him shine. He will shine that thing in you. I would have never thought that God would use an illness of all things for the glory of God. I have seen it over and over again. It's amazing to me. But it's because they see God's strength and they know that it's not my own. That's my pain. What's yours? Will you give it over to him? Max Lucado, don't we love his books? He said, a season of suffering is a small price to pay for a clear view of God. And Charles Spurgeon said, the Lord gets his best soldiers, warriors, out of the highlands of affliction. I'm writing my second book. The first one was Serving the Master, which is a ploy kind of off of when I was on the pro circuit. I had the fastest serve in women's tennis. It was the only time that I beat Martina. And when I won it, it was a big deal. I had 105 mile an hour. This was in the 80s. When I gave my life to Christ, I now serve the King. I serve the Master. And all I want to do is serve, get up to the line. This is how much I didn't have patience. I would in tennis, I would get up to the line, and I'd serve my hardest, and I'd run to the net afterward and hit a volley, and that would be it. Because I didn't want these long rallies, because I knew the longer the rally, the more patient I had to be. Told you I didn't have that. And so, you know, I didn't like to do that. So serving was what I did best. And now I want to serve Christ the best way I know how. Just get up to a line, meet a need, serve Jesus to my world. So my second book is going to be called, I think, Serving in the King's Court. And this is a short excerpt from what I wrote about suffering. The hardship of long-suffering is exactly that, the suffering long part. Suffering is enduring affliction by accepting wounds that won't go away and pain that won't wane. Long-suffering places you and me snugly at the foot of the cross where you're sustained. Then at some divine time, the resurrection power of Christ will raise you from the strain of your pain and you will reign in him. And what you will learn through suffering long will not be in vain. So Christian, brothers and sisters, complain not and remain in him. God has called me to endure. And I think he has you to press on. And I've really realized that he's cultivating perseverance. And perseverance, patience, character, and hope, and all the good things of Christ, attributes of the Lord, that I wouldn't have any other way. I shared this last story with you. It's about a race of 8 runners. They're lined up, the gun went off, off they went. About halfway, this little boy fell. He stumbled on his own feet. And the other 7 runners stopped. Never been done before. Stopped. Looked back. And they ran over to the boy. And this little girl with Down syndrome kissed him on the cheek and said, "That'll make it all better." And the most unprecedented thing happened, and I think it is the race that we will see in heaven again. All 8 of them put their arms together and walked to the finish line. My challenge to you and myself is this. Will you bring others with you to the finish line? Will you, arm in arm, because we can't do it alone, press forward? Not letting anything deter us. And together, bringing others with us. I have a song I want you to listen to. If I could sing, I'd sing it. I'd belt it out, but I can't. But this song is really stirring in my spirit. And I hope that you will, throughout this week, really meditate on it. And it will come back over and over. It's called Be Strong and Courageous.
So rest in him and let him work on your behalf.
to the person next to you. Tell them to be strong. Take courage. God's in you. Big in you. Father, I pray that you'll be with each of us as we go forth in your courage, not in our own. Give us, Father, what we need to persist in our pain for your gain, for your glory. God, you're an awesome God. We want to be effective for the kingdom of God. We want people to see the fruit. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.